Good morning. All right, I got my own here. All right. Well, I get to bring the word this morning, and I'm excited. Amen, because God's good, and he's doing good things. Before I get going, just a couple of things, more family fun things, which it's always fun to do family fun things, but it's Richard Wharton's birthday today. And so Richard, he's looking at me like with those eyes of, there it is. Hey, Richard, happy birthday. They made me do it. I'm kidding. It's good to see you. Happy birthday. We love you. And then secondly, it's pretty cool. I'm glad to see all of you, but baby Jude is here this morning. Connor and Liz, his little baby. He's probably sleeping, so we'll kind of do the golf clap type of thing. But man, it's just good to see God growing godly families and changing people's lives and then seeing them raise up kids of their own and pass on that godly heritage. That's what we're about. And so congratulations to you guys. It's good to see you. I'm pretty excited. You know, you have certain days as a pastor. I mean, you're always excited, right? Because God is good. But there's certain times that you're just, I don't know, more excited than others. And I definitely feel pretty excited. We this week had the privilege of going and spending about 2 days with a group of pastors in Northern California. How many of you did our Life of Worship series this last winter? We did about 15, 16 home groups. The pastor that put that together, Dave Patterson, I've been getting to know him over the last, and his team over the last, since then, and just have developed a pretty neat connection. And so we were able this week to go down there and be with him and his team and just a group of pastors and meet them for the first time, you know, face to face, not just over a phone thing, and just was encouraged and just believed that there's some divine connections that God is doing with our hearts and with their hearts, and it's just neat to see what God's doing in other parts of the country as well. And so that was a lot of fun, but we're kicking off this month of August. I can't believe that summer is definitely here, but it's definitely, we see what's on the horizon. And I don't know, parents, I get pretty excited for routine again. And I'm not even with my kids at home very often, but it's coming. And so we just felt for August, we're going to have different ones speaking over the next month. Next week, we're going to actually get to hear from our youth and Pastor Ryan and just believe that God's speaking to them even right now. And so they're going to have some stories to share. But we're this next month going to be talking about different topics that have meant a lot to the person that's speaking. And so each person that's going to be sharing, we're pretty much get a pick. God, what do you want to say? And really, what message has impacted us? Maybe not the most, but has left a big impact. And so I get to kick it off, and I'm just excited because God has done a work in my heart. And out of everything that I've been through, I haven't lived like a long, long life. I'm longer than some of you, but I'm not longer than some of you. But the main theme that just continues to reoccur in my heart is what I want to talk about today. And it has everything to do with how I respond to life circumstances. And so I'm just going to pray. We've prayed a lot this morning. Will you join with me? Father, I thank you for today. Father, that we get to gather together. Father, that we come in expectation today to hear from you. Father, we come with an expectation today to be changed by you, to be changed by your word. Father, I just ask that you would speak to us. Father, for every person that's going through life, that's going through hard circumstances, God, I ask that you would be close to them today. Father, for every person that is being faced with the decisions that they need to make in their life, Father, I ask for your peace to come today. Father, we just look to you to be our source, and we love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to kick off, and I want to ask a question. How many of you have ever been lost before? Anyone ever been lost? Right? Like, I can say, I think I've been lost, but I haven't really been lost. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been out in the woods. I've hunted. There's been a few times that I've kind of like, man, I think this is where I was, but I wasn't really lost. And the truth of the matter is I probably had my GPS in my pocket and so I could get back. So I've never really experienced the fear that comes with being lost. And believe it or not, with our circus of a family, we've never even really experienced with our children any times that they've been really lost. We've had a couple little ones that make sure your heart beats a little faster and you kind of start to, your mind goes to all these crazy places. But we've never had to experience the trauma of being lost or having our kids be lost. But I have, on more than one occasion, been confused getting places. One of the little running jokes in my family with my wife, it's more with her, she thinks it's pretty funny, but I have this thing with parking lots. And it's like I get into a parking lot, it doesn't matter if it's gravel, if there's fresh painted lines or faded lines, it doesn't matter if it's big or little, but something comes upon me and I cannot function. I can't figure out where the entrance is, where the exit is. It's almost like I don't even know where I'm supposed to park the car. There could be 100 empty spots, and I will drive around until my wife grabs the wheel and says, park here. I don't know what it is. I can get lost in a parking lot. And it's actually really comical because whenever we drive with someone new and we go into a parking lot, we always like warn them, hey, just so you know, Justin's going to get lost in this parking lot. Just so you know, I get really confused, and I don't know what it is, but, and so I experienced that trauma, but that's about it. And so I started thinking about this idea of getting lost, and on more than one occasion, and maybe you have experienced this too, but have you ever gotten to a destination, and the destination that you arrive at is not the destination that you thought you were going to arrive at? Anyone have that happen before? I was thinking about that this week, and it brought me back to about 16 years ago when my wife and I were just officially starting a relationship and towards marriage, and we kind of knew we liked each other, and we were like 21, 22, somewhere in that time frame, and this was like our first official, unofficial, official date, like where it was like, you know, we're just starting this new season of life, and it's been awesome. It's been over 16 years, almost 14 married, and just been a blessing. And so I remember that she was working really hard, and I was working really hard at making sure she noticed me. And she had just gotten done with this huge project, and I decided that I was going to take her out to one of her favorite places. And here's the beauty about being my wife. She never knows what story I'm going to tell. So just be glad you're not her. And so I decided that I was going to take her, and she loves to do two things, and those two things haven't changed, to shop and to eat at Cheesecake Factory. And so she loves those good things, good food. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. And so we, being a backwoods boy from Enumclaw, don't get out too much, especially to the big city of Seattle. But, you know, I thought I'm going to take her downtown Seattle to the Cheesecake Factory. And so we get in the car, we drive down Maple Valley Highway, jump on I-5 northbound towards Seattle. And I think, I don't know what it is. I mean, I still get distracted by her today, but I think I was just so in to her and everything that we were talking about that, I mean, we could have just been in the car and it wouldn't have mattered, but we were trying to get somewhere and we're driving and all of a sudden we see this sign that says, and to this day, I've never seen this sign again, but I know, and it said like, you know, leaving Seattle city limits. And I'm going, oh my goodness, we missed it. So I take the next exit, go up these hills, get a lot of weird looks from different people, and all there is like gas stations, like three of them, and we're like, hey, there's no Space Needle, there's no CenturyLink Field, there's no Safeco Field, but we just left Seattle, and so we're all confused, and like, I don't know, and again, we don't get out much, and so finally, I probably made her go into the gas station, because I was too busy doing things, too proud, sent her in, and I don't even know what she asked, but probably like, hey, where's Seattle? And the man looks at her, and then we look and we see, he's like, oh, you're about 12 miles away still. And we look on the corner, and we are on Martin Luther King Boulevard, just north of Renton, just down the road, about 10 minutes. But the sign said, leaving Seattle. And in our minds, the destination that we had pictured of Seattle did not match even close to the destination of Seattle we were in. Right? We were in Seattle, technically, but it was Renton. Right? It was not Cheesecake Factory. There's a lot of gas stations, no shopping, no restaurants. But I was thinking about it, and when it comes to our spiritual life, is many times the destination of where we've planned to go and the destination that we're actually at don't add up. Okay, many times we have ideas of where we think we're going to head, and the reality is we thought we were in Seattle, but we're in Renton, right? The reality is we thought we'd be further ahead than we actually are at the very stage in our life right now. The reality is we thought life was going to look one way, but the reality is it doesn't look the same. Anyone know what I'm talking about this morning? Can anyone picture, can anyone put themselves in the shoes that I'm laying out for you? Is the destination I thought I was going to be in, we ain't Kansas anymore, right? We ain't there. It doesn't look like I thought it would look. You know, I think with the Lord it happens where a lot of times God will give us a plan. I love when God gives me a plan for my life. God will give us a dream. Anyone else love dreams from the Lord? Where God will give you a dream, or God will give you a promise. Those are probably my favorite. When I know that I know that I know that God has spoken and said, I'm going to do this in your life. And those are those moments that we experience in life that are like mountaintops. When everything is grand, everything is good, I'm driving in the car with my future wife, and we're just having a good old time, and then we're lost in Renton. And we're lost in what we thought is Seattle. You know, God lays out a dream. How about marriage? Come on, think back before you were married, or maybe you that are single, and you have a desire to get married. And I remember when I was single, I thought as soon as I get married, everything's going to change. And it did, right? It did, for the good. But I thought, man, all my problems will be fixed as soon as I get married. Right? And you're shaking your head at me. You did the same thing. You know what? All of my struggles that I struggle with, as soon as I get married, it's just going to disappear. And then once I'm married, I think, man, I can't wait to be that parent. You know, the one that has the kids that are the star athletes and everything just goes right. And I have the kids and they play athletics and they're good at them, but there's some days that my reality doesn't match what I had in my head. My reality feels like this might be sometimes a nightmare. Like, I didn't know parenting was going to be like this. No one told us that we were going to have to deal with this. That wasn't in the dream that God gave me. I was thinking about, how about job change? How many people have left a job because of promise of a different job only to find out that, the grass wasn't as green as it was. Or we step out in our faith and we say, Lord, I want to be used by you. Anyone ever pray that prayer before? God, use me. And the next thing you know, he's using you and you feel like you're being used and abused, right? You're just like, God, this isn't what I pictured. Serving you, I didn't read this in the New Living Translation or the Message. It didn't spell it out like this. Anyone been there? Yeah, good. I'm not alone. Here's what I know about our God. As God gives us glimpses, God gives us dreams, God gives us encouragement, and God gives us promises. Number one, because he wants to grow and encourage our faith. Okay, God does not give you the dreams that he's placed in your heart because he wants to overwhelm you. Yeah. When I say overwhelm, I mean like bury you and stress you out. That's not the reason God gives us his dreams. Okay, God gives us our dreams because God knows where we're at, and God wants to see you grow so that you are not going to be the same person in your faith today that you're going to be in a year. Okay, God gives you those dreams because he wants to perfect in you a greater love for him. He wants to perfect in you a greater faith that's going to believe his word over your life. Okay, I believe the Lord gives us dreams, and he loves us where we're at, but where we're at is not where he wants us to be. And so those promises and those dreams are those things that keep us growing and keep us changing and keep us being more like the image of his son. I was thinking about Abram, which God changed his name to Abraham. And I was just thinking about the story this week, and I can imagine God taking Abraham outside, out of his tent, saying, "Look up, see all those stars, Abraham?" You know, and I love summer because the stars are out, but I love to look up and see the stars. My wife and I and our kids, we tried to do that last year, and then we realized there's a whole lot of bugs in our field, and so we're not going to do that anymore. But I love to look up, and I can imagine Abraham with God. And God saying, "Abraham, your descendants are going to outnumber the stars." Listen, at that time, Abraham didn't have one. God didn't tell him that dream because he just wanted to tease him. "Ha ha, Abraham, this is going to be painful for you." No, God gave him that dream because he wanted to encourage his faith. God gave him that dream because he wanted to say, "This is what I have planned for you if you will follow my plan for your life." Right? God speaks dreams to us because he wants to fill us with his hope. Okay, he wants to fill you with his hope. Listen, we live in a world that is dying for hope. We live in a world that is starved for something real. Listen, the Bible says that Jesus came to give us a future and a hope. Okay, and he came to give us abundant life. Okay, so God gives us those dreams because he wants you to fill your life with hope. God wants us to be a people of hope, so that we can be a light of hope, so that we can be a beacon of hope. Okay, we have to understand that the reason God fills us with his hope is so that our hope that comes alive would be a beacon of hope to the hopeless. Okay, that's why God gives you dreams. That's why God puts burdens on your heart. That's why God gives you promises. Another reason God speaks promises is he wants to give you a piece of his heart. God wants to give you a piece of his heart. Has anyone ever just been burdened with something before? Right? You go on a mission trip. You see something on the news. You go through something in your life, and you are all of a sudden carrying a burden for something that you've never carried before. Right? That's God giving you a piece of his heart. I believe that God wants to continue to give his people pieces of his heart. Right, but there will be burdens where you're like, "I don't know why, but I'm burdened for the next generation." Or, "I don't know why, but I'm burdened for the unborn." Or, "I don't know why, but I'm burdened for the homeless." Or, "I'm burdened for whatever it is, this nation, that nation." Right? It's God instilling something in you that says, "I'm going to give you a piece of my heart so that you can know how I feel, so that you can know how I see things." Okay, God wants to give you a piece of his heart this morning. Okay, another reason God gives us dreams is because he wants us to remember his faithfulness. He wants us to remember his faithfulness. Because I remember when God spoke to things in my life 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And I can look back and I see some things that have come to pass, right? Hallelujah for those ones. But then I see other things that maybe haven't come to pass. But in all of it, I'm reminded that he's never left me, he's never forsaken me, and he's been faithful every single time. He gives us dreams because he wants us to be reminded of his faithfulness. Here's the deal. God speaks a dream, and along the dream, along the plan, we know what happens. Right? At least I know what happens. I'll speak to myself. Things happen, right? Unexpected things happen. The road of life takes me down turns. The road of life happens. There's bumps that I didn't expect. I go and I pursue God's dreams, and the next thing you know, I get hit with things that I'm like, God, this wasn't laid out in your plan. Right? You have those moments where your Seattle doesn't represent the Seattle you thought. Right? Going back to my story with my wife. Right? Those moments where you realize that, man, this parenting thing is not for everybody. But I've got 4 kids. Too late now. Right? Where you realize that, man, this 2 become 1 thing for marriage. Whew. Feels more like, you know, punishment in a third world country at times, right? But you know what I'm talking about? I know I'm being real this morning, but the reality is things in life happen that we don't expect, and oftentimes they stop us in our tracks from experiencing the promise that God has for us. You realize that the road to leadership means that there's not someone going before you, and that means that you might be blazing through trails that don't even exist yet, and you take the brunt that you're paving away, and there's no one paving it for you, right? You say yes to God, I'll serve you, and then you realize that it can be tiring, right? And you're going, God, this isn't what I signed up for. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there today. Here's what I know about the destination. There's always different ways to get there. Okay, even with the Lord, there is always different ways to get to your promise. And my way is very rarely the same as God's way. And my ideas, very, very few times have they been exactly how I thought they would go. But they're still God's dreams for your life. There's still God's ideas for your life. You know, along the way, we experience setbacks, unexpected turns, right? Setbacks, God's dreams are meant to grow our faith. Setbacks are meant to derail our faith, right? Setbacks are meant to cause you to be hopeless, right? Have you ever been on a drive to nowhere? Right? I hate that. When you're lost, right? Setbacks are meant to make you feel hopeless. Right, instead of carrying the burden that God has called you to carry, you feel like it's just a burden to carry what God's called you to carry. You know, all this reminds me probably of a number of things, but it reminds me of a man in the Bible named Habakkuk. And if you have your Bible, it's in the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk. And it's between Nahum and Zephaniah, right? It's one of the minor prophets. You got to understand a little bit about Habakkuk is he was a prophet of God. And talk about, in the Old Testament, about just an unpopular position. Right? It was not always good to be a prophet of God in the Old Testament. Why? Because prophets were one that would speak what God was saying to the people. They were the messengers. God would speak, they would deliver. And you know the famous saying, don't kill the messenger. Well, guess what? Some died. And guess what? A lot of them didn't have very many friends because the messages that God would speak to them at that time were not positive messages. The messages that they would deliver from the Lord were not feel good, just, you know, chocolates and rainbows. They were like, you better change your life or you're going to get struck down. Right? Well, I don't want to hear that. That hurts my feelings, prophet. Right? Could you imagine that today? Right? It wouldn't fly. But the neat thing about Habakkuk is the time that he was a prophet was the time during the reign of King Josiah. Okay? And if you remember, and if you don't remember, I'll tell you a little bit. But Josiah was the king of God's people, and he became king when he was 8 years old. And he had followed a long line of kings that didn't do what was right in God's eyes. Okay, he had his grandfather, his father. He had a long history of kings that did the opposite of what God wanted. They built false gods and false idols. Okay, along comes Josiah, 8 years old as a king. That's crazy in itself. About 12 years old, he realized what he was called to do for God's kingdom, and he changed everything. He started tearing down the altars. He started establishing God's principles once again in the kingdom. He started doing what God had told this people to do. So you got to understand that this was a good time to be a prophet, right? I would say revival was happening in that nation at the time of King Josiah's reign. And so it would have been an awesome time to be a prophet, right? Because people are excited. You're getting things back in right order. You're doing what God has called you to do. It's not all doom and gloom and, you know, repent or die. It's like, man, things are happening. You ever been in one of those seasons where it's like, it's easy to be a Christian, or it's easy to be a husband, or it's easy to be a parent, when it's like everything is going good? Oh, thank you, Lord. I'll take these seasons all day long and on Sundays if I could have them, right? It was a good time for Habakkuk to be a prophet. Okay, there was nationwide revival happening. People were excited to serve the Lord, right? It was a popular time. But here's what I see. In the midst of revival, in the midst of God doing things in that nation, this man of God still had questions. And I just want to say this morning that God is not afraid of your questions. Can I say that this morning? God is not afraid of your questions. God is not afraid of your doubt. God is not afraid of your concerns. I think the problem might be we might be afraid of his answer. But God is not afraid of your questions. And Habakkuk had questions. When you're in a season of expectancy or a season of revival, it doesn't mean that conflict doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that things aren't just good. There were questions. But here's what I know about the questions. The questions that you have of the Lord are meant to draw you closer to Him. The questions that you have are not meant to diminish your faith. The questions you have are meant to say, draw you closer to the heart of God and get some answers. And so here's some of the questions that Habakkuk, our prophet, had. And I hope you can relate. He said this: God, there's good things happening, but why is there still injustice? He looked out and he said, but things still aren't right in the kingdom. Things still aren't fair in the kingdom. There's people that injustice is still happening to them. God, why? You been there? How about this? God, I did it all right. God, I followed all your rules. God, I waited until I was married to be intimate. God, we honored you and our family, but I still have sickness. I still have disease. I still have death. God, I did it right, but I got questions. There's still setbacks, still destruction. Anyone been there? That was his first question. His second question, which it follows up quite nicely, it's, and God, why are you silent? I did it right. Now I'm crying out to you, and the heavens are brass. Have you ever been there? Right, I have. Where it's like, I'm praying, but I don't even feel you. I don't even hear you. God, why are you quiet? Why are you quiet? I know it's... And then he says this, his third question. After God, why are you quiet? He starts looking around, and know what he starts to notice? That the wicked are prospering. So it's not only, I did it right, and things are getting a curveball on me, and now you're quiet, but the wicked are getting wealthier. The wicked are definitely having more fun. They're not miserable. Why are you prospering the wicked? When I'm doing what I'm called to do, I'm following you, and still nothing. You know, and I know what I would start praying. God, send your judgment on the wicked. Right? God, burn them up, and then I'll take their money. No, that's not how it works. But here's what I love, is God answers Habakkuk. And I believe this morning that God wants to answer you in the season of questions that you have. If you've asked those same questions to God. And here's what I love, is the Lord doesn't just give him what he wants. The Lord doesn't just be like, you know what, Habakkuk, you're right. Here's a lotto ticket and some chocolate. I'm going to make it all better. No, if you read God's answer to Habakkuk, it wasn't a good answer. It shouldn't have helped his problems. Because pretty much he leveled with him. He said, hey, my people are going to go through a hard time. In fact, the enemy's going to come, and I'm going to use the enemy to change my people's hearts. In fact, people might die, but it's going to be of me. So don't reject it. So pretty much it should have left him more depressed before he got the answer for God than after he got the answer. It should have discouraged him. And here's what I want to say to us this morning. For the eyes of the Lord rest upon the godly, and his heart responds to your prayers. Okay, it's in 1 Peter 3. We need to realize that when we cry out to God, he's going to hear you. He will answer you. Your answer may not look like what you think it will look like, but he will answer you every time. And this is what the Lord said to him. He said, have faith in my word. And what he said, look back over history. So I would say to us this morning over your situation to have faith in his word and to look back over history. Because he took Habakkuk and he said, remember when I rescued Noah. He said, remember when I rescued the Israelites from the Egyptians. He went back and he said, I proved myself faithful back then. Will I not prove myself faithful today? Will I not prove myself faithful? Look back over history. Look back. He said this, and you can find this in Habakkuk 1, verse 5. And pretty much, if I were to say it in my words, I would say, God is at work behind the scenes. Okay, God is at work behind the scenes. The Lord replied, look around at the nations. Look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day. Something, this is the kicker, you wouldn't even believe it if someone told you about it. Listen, that's not the focus. I won't believe it. The focus is God is doing something. He's saying, I am doing something. Habakkuk, I'm working, I'm moving, but you won't even believe it if someone told you about it. Meaning it's not going to look like God, but it's me. And I want to encourage you with what you're going through. It may not look like God, but is it? But is he working behind the scenes in your life? That I wouldn't believe this is how God works. Even I wouldn't bet $1 million on it. If I had $1 million, I wouldn't even bet a dollar on it. Look around. Be amazed. I'm doing something in your day. And then he said this. He said, I'm after something. I'm after something. Listen, it would have been really easy for God just to wipe out his enemies, wouldn't it? He's done it before. But he said, I'm not after that. I'm after the purity of heart. I'm after purifying their hearts. I don't want to just wipe them out. I want to get to their hearts. And he said, and my people aren't ready. And so I'm going to make them ready. Have faith in my word and look back over history. The second thing that he said to Habakkuk is he said that my promises will prevail. Can you say that with me? Say, my promises will prevail. So, you know, think that, speak that over your lives. His promises will prevail. In chapter 2, verses 3 of Habakkuk, it says this. It says, the vision is for the future time. It describes the end. And it will be fulfilled. Amen. If it seems slow in coming, wait. The P word. If it seems slow, wait patiently. The vision is for a future time. It describes the end. It will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, or when it seems slow, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. Come on. Amen? It will surely take place. It will not delay. Come on, what in your life right now is causing doubt? What in your life do you need to apply this promise that says the vision is for a future time? It will take place. Wait patiently. It will take place. Listen to God, yes means yes. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 18, a great promise, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, but it says, for just as God is true to his word, amen, my promise to you is not a fickle yes. When I meant no, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the one whom Timothy, Silas, and I have preached to you. He has never been both a yes and a no. Come on, over your life. He has never been both a yes or a no. But he has always been and will always be for us a yes. A resounding yes. Not, I think so, sure. No. His plan over your life is a definite yes. For all of God's promises find their yes in the fulfillment in him. And as his yes and our amen ascend to God, we will bring him glory. We say yes to God's promises. We say yes to God's answers. And he means yes when he speaks yes. So I love this. I don't really love the problem that Habakkuk's facing. I don't know if I love the answer that God gives him, because I'm like, man, there's some hard things. But what I love most, and what I believe is key for us today, is the response. Because as God's people, that we have to have a response to him. Right? We can have a problem. Got lots of those. God can answer. But where do I respond? How do I respond? What is my response? Habakkuk, he hears it all. He goes through the run of emotions. And in chapter 3, verses like 18 through 20 or 19, he says this. Again, his circumstance hasn't changed. Bad things are going to happen. And he comes to a response, and he comes to a resolve, and he says this. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, even though there may be no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. Listen, his circumstance has not changed. Nothing's changed. Wickedness is still prevailing. God isn't silent anymore, but God hasn't answered. God spoke, but he's not acted, right? But Habakkuk's heart has changed. Listen, God is after our hearts to change before the circumstance changes. His decision was even, if nothing ever comes true, even if none of those promises ever happen, yet I will rejoice because God is going before me. Yet I will praise you. Yet I will find joy in the God who rescued me. Hey, Steve, would you come up and worship team? He's saying, if I were to put it in different terms, even if things don't go my way, I'll say yes to your way. Come on, that's a powerful truth this morning. Even if things don't go your way, will you say yes to his way? Will you say yes to your way, knowing that the picture that I have in my head of the city of Seattle, okay, that we talked about earlier, even if my reality does not match my expectation, I say yes. Say yes. Knowing this. Knowing, God, you've gone before me. Knowing, God, you've already won the war. Knowing, God, you've already paved the way to my dusty road. Knowing, God, yes to your way. Come on, imagine the church coming together. I'm not talking just our local church or those who are here today, but imagine us coming together as the people of God, not knowing all the answers, having lots of questions, but standing in a place that says, God, you've gone before us. The victory is yours. Our response is we're going to worship you. Our response is we're just going to praise you. Imagine what would happen in our atmosphere. Imagine what would happen to your worry. It would go. Imagine. So my question today, will you worship in the middle of your doubts? Will you praise God for his faithfulness when you don't even hear or feel his presence over your life? Will you stand knowing this morning that God's way is better than your way? Would you stand up with me this morning? I felt this morning, just as we are here, that there was people this morning that feel like you are at the end of yourself, that feel like Habakkuk, that things are good around you, but you still have those questions. And I felt like the Lord said to us, if we will stand in a place just of worship and of confidence, knowing that God has already won the battles, and not to worry, he's going to answer. And that you will find your confidence in him when you just respond in worship. When you just respond and say, God, you've gone before me. God, you've already defeated these enemies. Come on, let's respond to the Lord. We're going to sing this song, but I just want you to respond, right? I'm going to respond. Let's respond to him in worship today.
All your promises are yes and amen.
opportunity to go by this morning. If there's people that are just saying, you know what, Justin, that's me. I'm right there where Habakkuk was. I've got those questions, or I feel like, man, there's been disappointments in my life. I've gone this way. I felt like I've honored God, and I got nothing. I want you to leave here encouraged today. And so I'm just going to ask, if this morning, if you want prayer, right where you are, would you just lift up your hand, right? There's no shame in that. And if you have someone that's hand is raised that just says, you know, I just need some people to come around me and pray. There's some people over here. Would you just take a moment and would you lay your hands on them and would you just speak blessings over their life? Come on, because I believe that the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak to people and wants to speak that word that is going to sustain them and is going to give them the confidence to keep walking, to know that their battle's won. Amen? Amen. So what I'm going to do is you can pray, and I'm going to pray, and then, Steve, we're going to sing this chorus as a declaration acknowledging God's faithfulness. So, God, right now, I thank you, Father, for this body. Father, I thank you for your promises. Father, I thank you for the promises that you spoke to your people. And, Father, right now, God, we just stand in confidence knowing that you've already won the war. Father, this morning we stand in confidence, not understanding everything, not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring. Father, we stand with disappointment. We stand with situations that are out of our control. But, Father, we stand confident this morning knowing that you've already won the war. We stand confident this morning, know that the victory is yours. Father, we have confidence this morning, knowing that your yes is yes, and your promises are yes. So I speak to everyone, God, that needs just a revelation, God, and needs to feel your confidence over their life, over their situation. Father, would they be confident knowing that you've won the battle? And Father, would our response be, you're good? Would our response be, we will worship? Would our response be, yet we will rejoice, yet we will praise? Come on, let's sing this together as we go.
Faithful you are.
Summer, let our response be to whatever lies in front of us. God, we will worship. God, your way, not my way. God, we will rejoice in your faithfulness. Come on, if you still today want prayer, we'd love to pray over you after, but you're released to go this morning. God bless you. And we'll see you next time.